Well, it's good to see everyone here tonight. Amen. Isn't it good to be in church at a midweek? Yeah. Praise God. Well, we've kicked off our Wednesday night services. We're calling them Faith and Healing because that's what we're here to get and to learn about. Hallelujah. Well, it was good to see everybody last Wednesday. Isn't it hard to believe that that was a week ago already? It seems like yesterday we were sitting down over there at the hotel eating and fellowshipping and all that. Well, praise the Lord. Here we are, Wednesday nights. You know, just a reminder, these services, you know, we're always going to obey God. We're always going to be, you know, led by the Spirit. But these services, of course, are reserved. You know, our Sunday mornings, you know that those are reserved for the feeding of the Word. But on our Wednesday nights, you know, of course, we're going to get into the Word as we're led, but we're just open to God. Amen. And we may, you know, praise and worship. We may hear a sermon. You know, we may pray. We might lay hands on the sick. We might raise the dead, you know. We're just here to be led of the Lord. Amen. And so we just encourage you to come out to these services. Praise the Lord. Well, you're ready for the Word here tonight. We are going to start with the Word, of course. How many of you got the text message this afternoon? All right, so you know, of course, we're calling this Faith and Healing, and we're going to teach on some healing here tonight. So turn with me in your Bibles. Go back there to the New Testament. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and tonight we're going to talk a little bit about Jesus, our healer. Jesus, our healer. And more specifically, we're going to talk about healing is in the atonement. Healing is in the atonement. And that goes right along with what we've been talking about lately. We've been talking about the blood of Jesus. And over the last three Sundays, we've been talking about how Jesus took his own blood. He went into the heavenly sanctuary. He went into the Holy of Holies that is in heaven where God's throne is. And he presented his own blood for us to purchase eternal redemption on our behalf. Amen. He's given us the remission of sins. That means he has freed us from the imprisonment or the power of sin and Satan. He's given us his blood, which is the propitiation for our sins, which is the appeasement of any and all of God's wrath that was against us. Aren't you glad to know that God's wrath is lifted from you? You were once, and I was once, through sin, we were once God's enemies, but now we've been made his family. There's a big difference there. That's a big transition from God's enemy into being his family. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our past is washed. Our sins are washed. He has made us worthy to stand before his presence. He's made us worthy to sit upon the throne with him. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He made us worthy to be called his kings and his priests, which we are to go before him, to have confidence before him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we've been talking about that over the last, you know, few weeks. Folks, we got to know this, that the redemptive work of Christ is under attack. I'll tell you what, you know, there is a move in the world right now. And you know where it's originating? It's originating in our nation to gut the gospel of all the power and redemptive works of Christ. You know, it was interesting. I didn't think I was going to mention this, and I'm not trying to make this something deeper than it really was, but I just, you know, just a little interesting thought here. My wife and I, later in the morning today, the first few hours I was in my office just doing a lot of administrative work and things, and my wife was getting ready to come here for afternoon prayer, and I said, and I just shocked her, because many of you remember my list from last Wednesday, right? And so I asked my wife, I said, hey, do you want to go for a walk today? Hey, it was my idea, right? And so we walked down a road. We just took, I don't know, we weren't gone very long, walked about a mile or so. And down on the lower parts of my road, which is just over here on Orr Street, we were walking along. And this has been set up there for a while. Over on one of the fields there, in between some of the houses, there's three crosses that are set up in the there's a little hay field there. And those three crosses have been there for years, you know, and we've always recognized them. I'm not even sure who put them up. The house next door was bought and sold. I don't know if it was a previous owner's. I don't know even who owns that little field there. But you know, the three crosses that I'm talking about, the two smaller ones, we see this display a lot of places. You know, they'll put the three crosses where the two smaller ones and then the one larger cross in the middle, and we know that represents the cross of Jesus, even though historically all three of those crosses were the same size, right? But of course, we think of, obviously, Jesus's cross as the greater one, which it is. And as, you know, we were walking along, I just stopped and I looked over and we noticed that the center cross was gone, and it's probably laying in the weeds, you know, and I'm sure it was just the wind that knocked it over. It had been set up for a while. I'm not trying to say that, you know, God, you know, did this to, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to get, you know, too deep with this, but as I just looked over and I saw the two little crosses standing there with the one center cross missing, I just kind of looked over at it, and, you know, when I saw it, it really just kind of provoked a thought, and I would just say, you know, it just kind of stirred something up on the inside of me, and it made me realize, you know, when this thought came to me, you know, that's what the gospel is becoming in our nation. The two little crosses on the side with the big cross missing. You know, because the two little crosses on the side, of course, you know, represent mankind. You know, man was, obviously there was two criminals, one that turned to Jesus, one that did not turn to Jesus. But we see today in the gospel in America, it's like everybody wants some form of a cross. They want some form of Christianity. But folks, on those two little crosses on the side, that was not where the blood was being shed for us. You know, that is not where man came under conviction. That is not where humanity gets free from sin. But, you know, much of the gospel in our nation, you know, wants a form of godliness, but denying the power to change our lives. You know, and I just looked over, you know, at that, and it just seemed to me, you know, it just was a very fitting symbol of what's happening in our country, that, you know, people, Christians, you know, churches are gutting the gospel of its true power, which is true power is found in the blood that was shed for you and I, the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else in any other cross. You know what I mean? You can, you know, have a form of a cross. It can look very similar, but if it's not the right one, you know what I mean? You can have a gospel today that is very friendly. You can have one that's very loving, which, praise God, we got to have, you know, loving kindness and so on. But if there's no power to release us from sin, release us from the power of the devil, amen. You know, in that center cross is where all the redemptive work of Christ was performed, amen. And that is the power to free us from our sins, to deliver us from Satan as our captor, to heal our bodies, to renew our minds, to provide everything that humanity has ever needed. God is the only true source of provision. Praise the Lord. And so we know that the redemptive works of Christ are under attack, but folks, we cannot forget what was provided for us in the atonement. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, when Jesus walked into the heavenly sanctuary, when Jesus presented his blood at the throne of God, that's what the Bible calls the atonement. Of course, the atonement started at the cross, and then it was consummated in heaven when Jesus brought his blood into that place. Amen. It is the redemptive work of Christ. To atone means to right the wrongs of another. Jesus righted all of our wrongs. Amen. He was providing everything that humanity need. He was there as an atoning victim, right? He was innocent, but yet he took upon himself our guilt. He took upon himself God's wrath, our sins, the sicknesses and diseases that would attack our lives, all the stresses and mental illnesses that would try to come on our minds. Jesus took all of that through the atonement. And I know recently we've been talking about a lot of, you know, very theological words, you know, atonement, you know, remission of sins, propitiation. And a lot of Christians aren't really familiar with what those things mean. Folks, we gotta know what they mean. if we don't know what they mean, then we will not receive what they provide. Let me say that again. If we don't know what these things mean, we will not receive what they provide. All right. So we're talking about the atonement. Now, go over there to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Go to verse 18. Praise the Lord. Now, remember, when Jesus was on that cross and when he gave up his spirit, remember what happened in the temple that was on the earth. Remember, there was a veil that stood in between the sanctuary and the Holy of Holies. That veil represented the separation between God and humanity. But when Christ gave up his spirit, remember the other things that took place? Darkness was over the land, of course, all those 3 hours, and then there was an earthquake. And what happened to that veil? What happened to it? It tore in two. And of course, that signified that God was moving out of that Ark of the Covenant, that gold box that was in the Holy of Holies. God was moving out of that box, and he was going to move into somewhere else as soon as Christ consummated that relationship in heaven. Remember that? Now, when God moved out of that box, where was he moving to? Where was he moving to? Yeah, that's why some of you are pointing. He moved into us. And specifically, literally, what temple did he move into? The temple of our bodies, right? And so let's read about it. 1 Corinthians 6:18. I started with this verse on purpose. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, of course, by the Holy Spirit inspiring him, he says, flee fornication. Wow. All right. Fornication is any form of adultery, whether you're married or not married. It is any form of sexual activity that God does not approve of. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body. The word without here is the word outside. All right. If you have a modern translation, it'll translate it this way. It says, every sin that a man commits is outside the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. And folks, I know many of you, how many of you were here this past Sunday? And we had, you know, the Holy Ghost really just intervened in that service and got very involved. And had me speak some things that were very difficult to say, you know, warning, you know, men specifically, but all of us generally, about fornication, about adultery, about pornography. There was a lot of, you know, difficult things there to be said. But now we see in the scripture why the Holy Ghost would say such things and gives, you know, such a dire warning. The Bible says that not all sins are created equal. Now, believe me, sin is sin, but there are, you know, sins that are more destructive than others, you know. And now this scripture says there are sins that a man commits outside of his body, but fornication or pornography, adultery, that is a sin that a man commits against his own body. It is a sin that destroys the human body. It is something that destroys and is very destructive. And so how many of you know God doesn't want to see our bodies destroyed? And we know that this physical body will perish. We know that this physical body has a lot of issues if we listen to its desires and so on. But God has a very vested interest in what we do with our bodies. Amen. And we know what's coming up next, right? Verse 19, it says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Wow, there's a lot going on. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So go back up to verse 18, and real quick, I'll just mention this again, why it's so important. In verse 18, it tells us that that form of sin, fornication, is destructive, you know, to the body. Not just for a man, but for women as well. And now he's making the point here of why it's so important to honor God with your body. Amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, you know, I won't get too much into this, but on Sunday, that was surreal for me. And I think I made mention to it, but it was like I saw this picture, and the way I would describe it is men being led off to the slaughter. Men. Satan is working overtime to drag men into the mire, to get them, to destroy them, to hurt them so that they are not effective in their families, not effective with God. Amen. Let's watch out. Now, verse 19, folks, verse 19 is the greatest statement in the Bible that God could ever make about the human body. It's the greatest statement ever said about the human body. And that is simply this. It is God's temple. It is God's temple. It is God's sanctuary. As holy as the temple of Solomon was to God, your body is more holy. As holy as the tabernacle of Moses was to God, your body is more holy to him than that. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is his throne. It is the new mercy seat. If you're wondering where the mercy seat is on earth, it's not in a temple or a tabernacle in Israel anymore. The mercy seat that was represented on the Ark of the Covenant now lives in you. God moved out of that box. He found a new mercy seat. He came to live inside you. Amen. Your body is his throne. Your body is the Ark of the Covenant. It is his seat. You could say it this way. Your body is the new Holy of Holies on this earth. Remember, the Bible says that there always must be a sanctuary in heaven, and there must be also one on this earth. Well, the one on this earth is not in Jerusalem anymore. It's in Jamestown, New York, right? Or it's wherever any born-again Christian happens to be. Amen. You could say it this way. God went out and purchased himself a new temple. He said the tabernacle of Moses, not going to work anymore. The temple of Solomon is not going to work anymore, which then the second temple was the temple of Zerubbabel. There's a lot of pulls in there, right? And then, of course, the remnants of that in Israel and so on. You know, he was saying, I'm going to purchase a new temple. I'm going to get myself a new Holy of Holies. Real quickly, can we just, you know, bring it up on the screen? Can we bring up Ephesians 1? You know what? Let's go ahead and turn there. It isn't going to hurt us to get into our Bible. Go to Ephesians. Hold your place in 1 Corinthians. We are coming back to it. Go over to Ephesians. It's just a book or two away. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 and go to verse 13. God decided to purchase a new temple. And we already know what that temple is. He says in verse 13, Ephesians 1, 13, it's talking about Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, in Christ, also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Aren't you glad? When you get saved, you get sealed with the Holy Ghost. Then you got to go on to the filling of the Holy Ghost. To be sealed and to be filled are two different things. All right, praise the Lord. Now it says, you'll be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The word earnest means the down payment. How many of you know we've got a down payment of God here on this earth? You know, the sealing of the Holy Spirit, amen, praise the Lord, which is the down payment of our inheritance. God has even more for us until the redemption of the purchased possession. See, God has given us a down payment of the Spirit on the inside until the fullness of the redemption of the purchased possession. The purchased possession happens to be your bodies. Your bodies is the purchased possession. God went out and he bought a new home to live in. He decided to buy your body and my body to dwell in. Amen. Now go with me back to 1 Corinthians. We're going to come back and forth here. Praise the Lord. So now think about it this way. Now the body, the human body needs health. How many of you believe that? I mean, that's a pretty obvious statement, right? Now think of it. Think of 1 Corinthians 6:19. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, or literally the dwelling place of God. And so now the body that needs health now has the healer living on the inside of it. The body that needs health has the healer living on the inside. The body that needs strength now has ultimate strength living on the inside. Think about that. And we could go just beyond, you know, we could go beyond healing. You know, the provider, you know, our lives that need providing, God's living, the provider's living on the inside. You know, our bodies that need, you know, peace, God, our peace giver, lives on the inside. Anything and everything, spirit, soul, and body has moved into you. God is just living in your laundry. You are God incarnate. Do you realize this? Do you understand God, the creator of the heavens and the earth? Nothing, you know, is impossible to him, lives in you. The healer lives in you. The provider lives in you. The absolute, the teacher, the protector, anything you need. Imagine if we got aware of God on the inside of us. But the body that needs health now has the healer living in the inside. The body that needs strength, amen, has strength, ultimate strength living in the inside. God now lives in you just as much as he lived in Jesus when Jesus walked this earth. There is zero difference. Do you know that? As far as God's concerned, there is zero difference. I'm going to say it again. God now lives in you just as much as he lived in Jesus when Jesus walked on the earth. Do you know what the New Testament calls the great mystery? There is a great mystery that God waited for all the eternal past to reveal to humanity. Do you know what it is? And you say, well, is Jesus risen again? No, not actually. All right? Jesus rising again from the dead was just necessary to make the great mystery possible. What God wanted to reveal to the world, what is the great mystery that he waited all this time to show all of humanity, is actually found in Colossians chapter 1. Do you know that? And of course, it's not the only place. Go over there. Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Well, you'll see what I'm getting at. Go to Colossians chapter 1. This is the great mystery that God waited literally forever to unveil. This is what he wanted to do all this time. It was his ultimate. Go to Colossians 1 and verse 27. Praise the Lord. Here is what ultimately the Old Testament was about, and it certainly is what the New Testament is about. Yeah. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. God wanted to reveal the glory of this mystery to you and I. Notice it's called, not just called the mystery, it's the glory of this mystery, which is what? Go ahead and say it. Which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. God waited forever to reveal this idea, this great mystery that he wanted the whole time was to live in humanity. And we happen to live in this time period where God does, he can, he will, and he abundantly lives in those that call upon him. Hallelujah. You and I have God living on the inside. Hallelujah. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You can see this point that I'm building. I'm going to make it here even more directly here in just a moment. Praise the Lord. This is what God waited to unveil from the beginning of time. This is what he wants you to realize more than anything else, that he lives in you. Wow. All right? Say, okay, you know, what do I do with that? Well, I'm going to show you what we do with that. See, folks, healing is you know, healing is not something that comes to your body. Healing is something that's living in your body right now. Yeah. Healing is not something that is far away at any moment. Healing is something that is big on the inside of you. Yes. It is not something that is, you know, a far away. You know, it's not something that's hard to get. It is not something that, you know, is elusive and difficult. The healer lives on the inside of you. You know, healing is not something that just comes upon your body. Healing is something that comes from within your spirit. And I'm going to, you know, make this more and more clear. Praise the Lord. But yet, what is happening right now in the body of Christ and, you know, in religious circles all over the world, people are squabbling whether or not, they're bickering about whether or not it's God's will to heal. You know, they're trying to figure out, does God heal? Does God want to heal? Does he heal everybody? You know, did healing pass away? Some people, you know, they reason with circumstances. They see, you know, a good godly person who got sick or maybe died or something. And so they try to judge God's will by that circumstance. Or they'll reason with just the scriptures. They'll go in and they'll be a scholar and they'll, you know, go through the verses and say, no, clearly it's God's word to heal, which is absolutely true. But folks, what I am trying to get over is that when you know that that God lives on the inside of you, the debate is over. The moment God said, your body is now my temple, the debate is over. God said the greatest statement he could ever say about the human body. You know, he made it his dwelling place. So I'm telling you what, this sounds, you know, bear with me here for just a moment. This almost sounds, you know, difficult to hear. God has done way, way more than heal our bodies. You know, he has provided way more than just salvation and healing. He has provided everything. He came in with all things. He spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also in Christ provide all things that we need? He's provided peace to your mind. Glory to God. He's provided healing in your body. He's provided the remission of sins. His wrath is off you. There's nothing that he won't provide. Pull out the stops with God. Stop looking out here for, you know, the things that you need. Start looking on the inside, the God that lives on the inside. Men squabble whether God chooses to heal. They bicker. One argues with circumstances. You know, they know someone godly who died of illness, and the other one argues doctrine and quotes God's will through the verses, which is absolutely good. But when are we going to know God's ways? Of course, it starts here. But folks, we got to get God's ways from here, and we got to get them into here. If you know God, if you fellowship with him in his word, if you fellowship with him in your spirit, if you know his ways, you will already know he's a healer. You will know his desire for you. You will know just so strongly on your inside that God is just rushing to, he's making haste to perform his word on your behalf. He is just, you know, for lack of a better word, aching. He's just so urgent to provide your needs. And somebody that sits there, and listen, you can debate doctrine and theology all day, but do you know it in here? Do you know him on the inside who lives in you? Someone that has God living on the inside, but yet they can't get, you know, convinced of their mind of his healing. I'll tell you what, if you get mindful, if you get aware of God's presence, if you fellowship with him, it'll take about 3 seconds, way less than that, to know what he is there for you. Glory to God. The debate, stop debating. Stop wondering. He called your body the temple. That is more than just trying to, you know, pick out some Bible recipe to get healed. Give up the Bible recipes. Well, if I quote six scriptures about healing every day, healing will finally come out of me. No. Take those six scriptures and go in fellowship with the healer that's on the inside and tell him how much, Father, thank you. These are your words to me. This feeds me. Do you know, this satisfies me. Father, this is enough. This is your love for me. Listen, all the debates in the world about healing never got anybody healed. You know, somebody that, well, healing is for us. Well, God doesn't heal everybody. All that is just some semantical, anecdotal nonsense. When you know God and you know him here. And of course, that begins with right here. But you can't know God up here. No matter how much you memorize this. You know what I mean? I mean, and so many times, when I say this, you'll understand what I'm getting at. You know, of course, I'm in the Bible a lot, and so I can quote a lot of scriptures. And people always tell me, it's just amazing that you can quote so many scriptures. And I think to myself, don't be amazed by that. That, you know, don't be amazed. Yeah, it might begin there, but that in of itself is not amazing. It's not amazing to just have things memorized up here. What is amazing is when you have fellowship with that word and it dwells richly in you. See, when the word dwells richly in you, you know, even if you're being, you know, tried or tested in your body, you are at rest on the inside. You're at rest as if your healing is already complete. You know what I mean? You're not obsessing over it. Yes, the devil's going to pound you with thoughts, but on the inside, you know, you're already at rest. You're at peace. Yes. Amen. Amen. You know God's there. You know his desire, his will. You know who he is. Healing isn't what God does. Healing is who he is. Healing is who he is. People are trying to know healing in their body. Know it in your heart. People are trying to get healing in their body. Know it in your heart. Boy, do I dare say it this way? There's going to be a lot of people that criticize this, and I certainly don't want to confuse you. I would rather know healing in my heart and being going through a sickness in my body than to be walking in complete health and not know healing in my heart. Do you know what I mean by that? Better to know the word and know God personally with a trial than to not know him without a trial. Do you see what I'm talking about? See, so many Christians, what's the most important thing to them is they get past that trial. Just get me out of this situation. Listen, the most important thing is that you know who he is. Healing is not what God does. It is who he is. Amen. Healing is not something that just comes to your body. It's something that lives in your body, and it lives in a person in your body.
Yes, it does.
God himself. Yes, you know what I mean by a person. We know God's not a man, but you don't understand what I mean by that. Amen. We want healing, but do we confess the healer who dwells on the inside? All right. Amen. There should never be any debate in any way. Here's the truth. Oh, go with me to Genesis. Did I say Genesis? I meant Exodus. You know, they are neighbors after all. Praise the Lord. Go to Genesis 15. Oh, I'm sorry, Exodus. Genesis, Exodus. You know, they kind of sound a little bit alike there when you say them fast. Exodus is what I'm trying to say. Go to Exodus 15. Praise the Lord. Go to verse 26. Okay. Oh, yes. Yes. We're gonna get through some things here. Verse 26, let's just cut right to the chase. This is God speaking to Israel, and this is the first time ever that he truly reveals who he is to them in this manner. It says, "And if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and if you'll do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you. And many of you know this, you've done the study on this. Actually, where he says, I'm the Lord that heals you, he uses a name for himself. And, you know, in the Hebrew, it says Jehovah Rapha, and it's capitalized. Jehovah Rapha literally means the Lord, your healer, which was a significant thing for him to say. Do you understand? Do you understand that when God revealed himself as the healer, you know, a lot of those pagan religions, they didn't believe that their God was a healer. You know what I mean? So he was distinguishing himself. He was making himself, you know, very distinct. But he says, I am the Lord. Your God is your healer. He's saying, I'm the one that heals you. And that was revealed to them for the first time. Now, as, you know, Israel was moving forward, as they were, you know, following the plan of God, God kept telling them over and over. He kept saying, I am yours and you are mine. He said to them, he said, you know, I, your maker, I am your husband. Remember when he said that to them? You know, he kept revealing himself, you know, who he was. And so here is the truth. And we may walk through some of these scriptures. I think many of us could quote them, you know, in our hearts. But let's get some truth here. The truth is, and of course we saw it with Israel here in Exodus 15, 26. The truth is, healing belongs to us. And at that moment, God was revealing, you know, to Israel that healing belongs to them. That is a truth. How many verses do we need to see before we believe that? I thought, well, I could walk you through several verses right now that tell us that healing belongs to us. Let's just quote a few, right? You know, we could go to Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases, right? We could go to Isaiah, you know, chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. He was wounded for our iniquities. He was bruised. You know, I'm butchering the quote right now. You know, we could go, let's bring that up real quick. Could we bring that up? Praise the Lord. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. For whatever reason, here I was just saying how I can quote these verses. Go over there. Can we bring that up real quick? Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. Jesus has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Look at verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Does healing belong to us? Yes, it does. We could go to, you know, 1 Peter 2:24, that Jesus, you know, who in his own body bare our sins, you know, on the tree, that we should be dead to sins, we're alive unto righteousness, and by whose stripes you were healed. I mean, we could go and just quote verses. The truth is, healing belongs to the Christian through the atonement. When Christ went before God's throne, he purchased eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. Folks, if you are born again, you have eternal life in you right now. Folks, I'm here to tell you, eternity has already started for you and me. Do you understand that? Praise the Lord. And, you know, and I was going to take you through all these verses. I mean, we've been taught this 1,000 times. We know healing belongs to us. But here's the truth of Exodus 15, 26 that God was trying to get over. Bring that back up. Exodus 15, 26. He says, I am the Lord that heals you. Yes. He says, I am Jehovah Rapha. Healing is not just what I do. Healing is who I am. He is not just telling them that healing belongs to Israel. He is telling them the healer belongs to Israel. I'm going to say this again. The truth is healing belongs to us, but the greater truth is that the healer belongs to us. See, we think of this covenant that just everything that is ours is God's, which is true. That God just purchased us and it just, you know, goes that one way. You know, folks, not only do you belong to him, he belongs to you. He belongs to you. Christians are squabbling and bickering, trying to figure out if healing belongs to them. Well, go ahead and just discover the greater truth. The healer belongs to you. God doesn't want you to try to figure out healing. A lot of Christians are trying to figure out healing up here. He wants you to know the healer. He doesn't just want you because, though the preacher taught you, well, healing is yours, it belongs to you, go and appropriate it, which is good. I'm not saying that, to be condemning. But the reason why so many Christians, they have such a hard time receiving or believing, is they've gotten so fixated on the healing belong to them that they forgot that the healer belongs to them. Oh my goodness. Father, you live in me. You live in me. You've already raised this body from the dead. You've already raised this body from the dead. You've already pulled me out of hell. You've already made me sit in heavenly places. I'm gonna say that again. We said this a few moments ago. I would rather have a trial with knowing God than to have no trial and not know him. And again, I'm not saying that I want sickness on you or me or, But I'm making the point that the greatest truth is that we can know about God is that he belongs to us. That's why Paul said, my God shall supply. My God shall supply all my needs. My needs are spiritual. My needs are physical. My needs are in the soulish realm or the mental realm. We have needs financially. We have needs maritally. My God shall supply. My God, Father, you belong to me. And all that you are belongs to me. All that you are lives in me. As much as Jesus had God on the inside. Father, this is the great mystery that you've waited to unveil to the earth all this time, is that you want to live in us. And would God, realize that Adam had sinned, he already had a plan, to get back to living on the inside of mankind. Hallelujah. Healing isn't just mine. The healer is mine. And so, folks, we know that at times our bodies go through trials and things like that. But where healing comes from, yes, it comes from God's word. But we know that God's word should be where? Dwelling richly in us. Dwelling richly in us. And so, I encourage you, stop making healing, and I understand the Bible needs to be taught and we've got to deliver it as a teacher and we've got to make it understandable, but sometimes we make it so static. You know what I mean? Here's my little healing recipe. If I just read so-and-so's book enough on healing, I'll get healed. Thank God for good books on healing. Hey, we have an author she just stepped out a minute ago. Carolyn Lawson wrote an awesome book. You should get a copy. I have that book, right in my desk. I'm just making the point that just sitting there trying to compute healing. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You cannot hear a message. You cannot just read somebody's book and try to compute what healing is until you know the heart of the Father. Yeah. The heart of the Father says, I am the Lord that heals you. I am the Lord that heals you. To the point where, now let me just, try to explain it this way so you get the right mindset. Again, our mindset isn't to just make the pain go away or the symptoms to go away or the issue to go away. Our goal is to know him, is to know him. If you can get fully convinced of who he is, I'll tell you what, to the point where it's like, we don't even have to dwell on that anymore. I don't have to, be fearful of that anymore. Amen. Does that make sense? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead. Let's just take some time to worship God here tonight. Can we do that? Let's go ahead. You can go ahead and close your Bibles. Go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Let's fellowship with the one that's on the inside of us. Let's fellowship with that God, our provider. Let's fellowship with our Father. Father, we just worship you tonight. We bless you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Father, sometimes we chase all the things, but of course we know that belong to us. We're grateful. We don't diminish that in the least because we know the price that was paid to make these things ours. But Father, we're going to chase the healer more than the healing. Father, we want to know you more than just to see symptoms go away. Father, thank you. And of course, we know. You meet those needs and those things manifest in our life and we get free and we're healed and provided for. Father, we just choose to fellowship with you right now. Father, healing doesn't just belong to us. Provision doesn't just belong to us. Peace doesn't just belong to us. Joy doesn't just belong to us. Father, we thank you. The healer belongs to us. This great mystery, Christ in us. Christ in us. The hope of glory. The hope of glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We worship you, Father. We worship you. Father, we bless you. Father, we're not just trying to pick out some recipe out of the Bible to get healed. We're not just trying to quantify. If we could just count up enough scriptures to get healed. But Father, your scriptures are the ticket to knowing you. Father, thank you. You are healer. And Father, you're mine. You're ours. You belong to me. I belong to you. Thank you, Father God. Blessed is your name. Father, these bodies are the temple of the Spirit. Father, you purchased this for your own possession, to have a new holy of holies on this earth, to live and to dwell on the inside. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Father, we worship you tonight. We worship you. Glory to God. Glory to you, Father. Praise you, Father. Father, I possess all that is you, all that is your character, all that is your goodness, all that is your personality, all that is your nature. Healing isn't what you do. Healing is your nature. Joy isn't just something you provide. Joy is your nature. Peace is your nature. And all of your nature, all of your character is in me. All of your character is in every one of these believers. That Father, that we fellowship with who you are. And that ends the debate. We don't need to bicker and squabble. And Lord, we see because humanity is trying to understand these things with their mind. They're trying to discern these things in the mental realm. They bicker and they fight and they tear down the redemptive works of Christ. But if we fellowship with you, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, glory to God. Glory to you, Father. Just worship him, everybody. Father, we just bless you tonight. We bless you tonight. We bless you tonight. We bless you tonight. We bless you tonight. Oh, Lord God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because the blood of Jesus is the price that purchased our bodies. We can come before you right now confidently and just say, Father, as my healer who dwells on the inside, you're in me and I'm in you. Father, I thank you that I walk in your strength. I walk in your health. And Lord, I'm saying this as an example. I'm not talking about me specifically, but Lord, obviously that applies. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, I had originally thought that in this service that we would lay hands for anybody wanting to be ministered to for healing. But you know, it's with you already. Yes. It's with you already. Go ahead, close your eyes, bow your heads. Let's all pray this prayer. You know, and again, this is not you listening to me pray this. This is you talking to your Heavenly Father. And I'm just going to invite you to receive. And as you fellowship with your God, your healer, you can simply learn what it looks like to receive by faith, to fellowship with God who He is, and not because you just are hoping to say the exact right thing or just trying to repeat some recipe, but with heart and with feeling. If you have need in your body for health and healing, pray this. Mean it with all your heart. Take it as your example. Everyone, let's pray this together. Say, Heavenly Father, you're my Lord, my God. All that you are lives in me. All that I am is with you. Father, I know that you long to work in my body. So therefore, I declare I'm the healed of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. And that blood is the price that was paid that I could walk in health. You live in me. You walk in me. Thank you, Father, for your love, for your strength. In Jesus' name. Let's just thank Him and praise Him. Father, we thank you. Father, I thank you. And Lord, that's how we can pray for every need in our life. Take it by faith. Take it by your character that dwells in us. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. You know, we're just still in an attitude of praise, worship, and prayer. But you know, that's absolutely how your needs are met. This is how you go and lay your burdens down and say, Father, you see that mortgage payment, or you see where we're short financially. Father, your abundance lives in me. All that is in heaven, all that is within this earth already belongs to me. Thank you, Father God. You're my provider. I know you. I know you long to provide for me. Father, the blood of Jesus Christ has made it possible for every need to be met in my life. Thank you, Father. Providing is not just what you do. Providing is who you are. That is who you are in me. Thank you, Father, for dwelling so powerfully in me. Thank you, Lord, that greater are you than anything that is in this world. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Father. Blessed is your name. I love you, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you that this just takes the wonder, the confusion out of life. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. So therefore, right now, because the healer lives in me, I'm the healed of the Lord. Whether there was pain in my body or not, I'm the healed of the Lord. Father, whether I have my $1 million in my pocket or my last nickel, I am in full provision. I lack nothing because provision lives in me. Thank you, Lord God. This is the great mystery that you decided to unveil, Christ in us, your anointed one in us. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father. Worship you. Worship you. Worship you. Worship you, Father. Glory to God. 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 The blood of Christ was shed that I'd walk with the greater one on the inside. The blood of Christ was shed that my spirit would be the very temple of God, living in my body. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name, Lord God. Thank you for living in us, Lord. Thank you for being so great on the inside. Thank you, Father, that even though we can't explain every little thing of what's going to happen, we know this, it's going to be all right. Father, it's going to be all right. Father, we lay that burden down. We just pick up your peace instead. We have the relief on the inside to know that everything we need is already in us. Already in us. Already in us. Thank you, Lord God. This great covenant, Father, that you started with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You're faithful to us as you're faithful to 1,000 generations. Your promises are yes and amen in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, just go ahead. Reach on the inside. Just confess what you need. Believe it. Declare that he's the one on the inside. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, so kreshtiki. Brashtaka brabato soko. Oh, so ke brabanishtiki brabane sokondara. Preste brabano soko brabade seko brabashti. Oh, so ko brabashtiki brabade seke brabashta. Oh, so ko brabande seke brabando seke shtekam brabandeso. Preste kabrabade seke brabashti. Grasso com rabande se que pra bade se que pre bate. O drabande se que pre bide se que pre mano soco. There is no need that fellowship can't provide. There is no trial that fellowship can't overcome. O sobreste que pra mande se que pra mande se. So fellowship with your heavenly Father. O soco pra baste que pre. Confess and know who he is. Not just what he does. And become intimately aware of what he's doing on the inside. Father, thank you. You're all things to us. All things. And we see a time in this world unlike ever before. Everyone's trying to take something away from the gospel. Trying to pick it apart. Father, we thank you. There is no limits to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Our covenant God. Our covenant God. Our covenant God. Does he have all of your heart? Does he have all of it? Does he have all of your commitment? Thank you, Father. Oh, you're longing to fellowship with us. That we would know who you are and not question any of it. We don't have to debate, squabble, and bicker. We know your character. We know your voice and everything you are on the inside. We just bless you, Lord God. Bless you. Bless you. Preshteki prashta kabra bato shtoko brabate seki brana. Oh, so kona. Let's just pray for a moment. Prashta kabra bashta. Oh, so ko preshteki. Preshteki brata so. Oh, so ko bramandi seki bramandi. Oh, so ko bramandi seki. Let go of that turmoil. Stop with that torment. Put a stop to it. You do it. Put a stop to it. You're tormented in your mind nonstop. You're tormented. Put a stop to it. In the name of Jesus, in the authority in that name, you stand and lay down that turmoil and that torment. Put it under your feet once and for all. No one's going to do that for you. It's already been done. Put down that turmoil. Yet we can pray. Oh, so cobra manese. Se que prepatoso. Well, I think this one day, and I think something else the next day. I think one thing one day, I think another the next day. Oh, in a little while, I believe this, and then, oh, I hear somebody else, and then I believe that, and then I go back to this. Give up that game of tug of war. Give that up. Plant your feet solidly upon the rock and make a stand. You're not weak. You're not weak. Put that thought away once and for all. You're not weak. You're strong in Him. You're strong in Him. Well, I'm not sure. This over here, that over there. Make a stand. Make a stand. There's enough on the inside of you. You know. You know. You know. You know enough. You know enough. Thank you, Father. Oh, you live so mightily on the inside of us. Oh, we can fellowship with you every moment of the day. Every moment we can be aware of your glory in us. Lord, we know we've got to live a natural life. Lord, we know that we've got to have jobs and pay bills and do all this stuff. And sometimes that looks very mundane or routine, but that does not prevent us from being aware of what's on the inside, who's on the inside. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes, healing belongs to us, but Father, the healer, you belong to us. You belong to us. Thank you. And for every Christian in this world, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. I see that turmoil and torment, like that dark cloud over somebody. That dark cloud. You tell it to go. Jesus spoke to the storm and it left. That isn't the only storm you're going to have to speak to. I just see that. That person, I see that person. I don't know who it is. I see a person. And what's going on is that you know more than enough what to do. You're waiting for that thing to break on its own. It's not going to break on its own. That dark cloud over you, that turmoil and torment, you are going to stand upon the rock of Christ, and you are going to speak, and you are going to use the authority you're going to use your knowledge of the blood of Jesus Christ, and you're going to tell that thing, you don't belong here. And you're going to say, in the name of Jesus, that torment is broken in my life. That dark cloud over my life is gone. I don't permit it anymore. Rise up with that strength that's on the inside of you. Rise up with that faith that's in you. He's given you that measure of faith. Use it. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Father, we just praise you tonight. We worship you. We glorify you. Lord, we don't have a full explanation for all that's being said and done. Lord, we just know. Whether it's somebody that's, you know, watching this video later, or somebody that's in this room, maybe there's many people, you know, throughout time and throughout this service or wherever, that need these things to be spoken. So, Father, we just bless you. We bless you. We glorify you. Father, we just praise you. You're the God on the inside, my healer, my provider, my protector, my strength, my peace, your nature living in me. And Father, we just give you all the praise tonight, all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Did you get some help here tonight? And yeah, we got to receive the offering. You know, it seems like on Wednesday nights, I guess that's a tradition on the first Wednesday night service that I'm not thinking about the offering. But folks, when you hear the Spirit of God saying these type of things, you wonder, like, who's that for? Who's that for? If it's for you, you know it, right? If it's for you, you know it through and through. You know, it could be somebody, you know, watching these videos, you know, on YouTube at some point. Could be one of us in here. It could be a few of us in here. You know, we just don't know. I don't know. And I just see a person. When I say I see a person, I'm not seeing details. I just see, you know, I see somebody. It's hard to explain. Praise God. You know, it's not, you know, anything that I could, you know, naturally explain. Well, let's go ahead and receive the offering. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to sow into our local church. Father, as we've been taught the word, it's right for us to sow. And we thank you that every time we sow good seed into good ground, harvest is imminent. Lord, we thank you. Where we're growing spiritually, where we're kept by the power of God, Lord, we thank you. It's good to give in that direction. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Folks, just a quick reminder, you know, on Wednesday nights, we do have people that stay in the church building, you know, waiting to, you know, lock up and, you know, all that stuff. And so, you know, if you're going to hang out with somebody, maybe go get a coffee at Tim Hortons. Or we just want to, I'm just kidding. Of course, if you have kids in the nursery, pick them up. And thank those wonderful people for serving in that manner. And we just want to be very cognizant of people's time that have to stay in lockup. Amen. God bless you. We love you. You are dismissed.